Please open your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. Our text for today is John, chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Here the Bible tells us there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Now, the big point that Jesus makes here is that a Christian lives a brand new life. That is the central theme of the sermon today. A Christian lives a brand new life. As we look at this part of the Bible, we discover three major points that Jesus makes. First, you must be born again to belong to God. Second, only the Holy Spirit can make you born again. And third, if you are born again, you will live a new life. Now, we're going to look carefully at each one of these points today to see that the truth that we find here is that a Christian lives a brand new life. Firstly, then, Jesus tells us that you must be born again to belong to God, to be one of God's people. You must be born again to belong to God and be one of God's people. This man, Nehemiah, was a very religious man. He was a Pharisee who followed over 600 religious rules. He was a teacher of the Old Testament and had studied the Old Testament his whole life. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was like the Senate and the House and the Supreme Court all together. with the high priest sitting in the White House. That's what the Sanhedrin was to the Jews. Nehemiah saw himself as one of God's chosen people. Nehemiah thought he was one of God's people already. And he taught the Jews how to live as God's people according to his understanding of the Old Testament. Verse 2 tells us that Nehemiah came to Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." You see, he had heard Jesus teach and had seen Jesus perform miracles. He believed Jesus was a teacher and that God had sent him. So Nehemiah wanted to know more about Jesus. He was astute enough to know that God was in this man, working. In verse 3, Jesus tells Nehemiah, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What's interesting is that Jesus immediately changes the subject. He turns the attention of Nehemiah and the conversation to the most substantive thing in all of life: how we can come into the kingdom of God, how we can know God, belong to him, live with him right now, and live forever. Jesus says, "Unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't belong to God." Nehemiah was startled. He could not believe what Jesus said. Nehemiah thought he was already one of God's chosen people. He believed God was going to send a Messiah, a special anointed king from God, to conquer Rome and all of Israel's enemies. He believed this Messiah would be God's chosen man to rule Israel and that God would establish his kingdom on earth. Nehemiah believed this king sent by God would rule the world, and that the Jews, the nation of Israel, would have a special place in this new kingdom of God on earth. And he believed that the Jews had to practice all the rules of the Jewish religion in order to belong to God and to be part of this kingdom. Nehemiah believed and taught that the Jews were God's chosen people, and that circumcision was the sign or evidence that they belonged to God. He taught that they had to offer sacrifices and to practice all kinds of rituals, like ceremonial washing of hands and cups and bowls. He taught that people were spiritually unclean if they touched a dead animal or anything unclean, like a lizard or a rat. And he taught that doing these things and many other religious things showed that you were a Jew and belonged to God and that you were holy. But Jesus tells Nehemiah, "You cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again." How shocking! Not only does Jesus tell Nehemiah that he is not part of the kingdom of God, Jesus also tells him that he has to be born again even to enter God's kingdom. So the first big point Jesus makes is that in order to belong to God, you have to be born again. It's not enough just to be religious and do a lot of religious things and have a lot of religious feelings. You have to be born again. It's not enough just to know a lot about the Bible and love the teaching of the Bible and love doctrine and know a lot about doctrine. That's not enough. You have to be born again. It takes a miraculous work of the Spirit of God. Secondly, Jesus tells us that only the Holy Spirit can make you born again. Only the Holy Spirit can make you born again. In verse 4, Nehemiah asks, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb?" In verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus is not talking about baptism. If he meant baptism, he would have said, "You must be baptized." The Bible scholar Matthew Henry explains that to be born of water and the Spirit means the Spirit works like water when water cleanses something. It's the same kind of expression we find John the Baptist using in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, where John the Baptist is talking about the Messiah coming. And he says, he, that is the Messiah, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, he doesn't mean that the Messiah will literally baptize people with fire. He means that the Holy Spirit will work like fire to purify. In other words, the Holy Spirit cleanses and purifies like water, but instead of washing away dirt, the Holy Spirit takes away the filth of sin by the work of regeneration. That's a big word that simply means a brand new birth, to generate again, to give birth again. As the Apostle Paul writes in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, he, that is God, saved us through the washing of regeneration, being born again, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You see, only the Holy Spirit can give us spiritual life. That's what we need. We don't need to be more religious. We don't need to be respectable or just moral. We need to be spiritual. We need a new life. In verse 6, Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus says, God is spirit. In order to belong to God, we must be born of God. We must have spiritual life from God. And this spiritual life is different from the life of the body, that is our flesh and bones. Our body lives for the things the body needs and craves. The spiritual life that God gives us when we are born again lives for the things of God, spiritual things. A Christian lives for spiritual things. That doesn't mean we're perfect at it. That doesn't mean that we are full-blown living for spiritual things as much as we possibly can when God saves us and makes us born again. It's like a baby growing. We grow more and more to live for spiritual things more and more. But the center of our hearts, what we're focused on, what God is driving and generating in us, is this desire to live the spiritual life more and more. Now, we cannot make ourselves born again. In verse 8, Jesus says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, just as we cannot control the wind, we cannot control the work of the Holy Spirit. There is no ritual or anything else we can do to cause the Holy Spirit to make us born again. Notice that Nehemiah does not understand what Jesus told him. In verse 9, Nehemiah says, how can these things be? You see, Nehemiah has not been born again. He is a natural man with only a sinful human nature. And the natural man cannot understand spiritual things. Jesus tells Nehemiah that he should know that a person has to be born again because Nehemiah is a teacher of Israel. Nehemiah is an Old Testament scholar. That's what he is. Throughout the Old Testament, God states clearly that people must be born again, must have a new heart, and the Holy Spirit will live in his people. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verses 25 through 27, we find one of the places where God makes this statement about being born again. There we read, beginning in verse 25, God says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you persuade you, cause you to work, to walk in my statutes, to obey my laws, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Why? Because you want to, that's why. Because you're born again, because you have spiritual life, a life from God, a life from heaven that God himself has given you. Not because mom and daddy's taught you to be good. Not because you've gotten in trouble and you better do things right. Not even because you want to be religious. You will do them because you've been born of God. You're an adopted son or daughter of God. And spiritually, supernaturally, God has given you a new life. And you live this life God has given you imperfectly, yes. But more and more obedient, more and more desiring to know God more and be used by God more. Jesus used earthly terms to explain to Nehemiah that just as our physical lives come from flesh, so also spiritual life must come from the Spirit. He also explained that the Holy Spirit is like the wind and cannot be controlled. We cannot make ourselves born again. But Nehemiah did not believe. The only way Nehemiah can believe heavenly things is to be born again, to be made a spiritual being. So Nehemiah asked, how can these things be? In verses 11 through 15, Jesus answers his question. In these verses, Jesus tells Nehemiah what must happen for people to be born again. Look at verse 11. There Jesus says, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Now look at verse 13, where Jesus says, no one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Here Jesus says that only the we he talks about knows what is from heaven, knows spiritual things. The we has to be God the Father, God the Son, that is Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And in verse 13, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man and says that no one on earth knows the things of heaven except he who came down from heaven. Now, Nehemiah knows that the title Son of Man is one of the names that is used in the Old Testament for the Messiah. Jesus is saying that no one on earth knows heavenly things except him, Jesus, the one who came from heaven and is both on earth and in heaven at the same time, the Son of Man. He is both man and God at the same time. Therefore, he is on earth as a man and God, and at the same time, he is omnipresent in all places, at all times, because he is God. Now look at verses 14 and 15. In these two verses, Jesus says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Here, Jesus explains how the Holy Spirit can make people born again. He says that the Son of Man must be lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So what does that mean? Open your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 21. The book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. Here the Bible tells us, beginning in verse 4, then they, the Hebrews, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent, a bronze snake, and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now let's make sure we understand what happens here. The Hebrews in the wilderness sinned against God. God sent snakes to curse them, and the snakes bit the people, and they were dying because God punished them for their sin. Then the people cried out to Moses, and God told Moses to put a bronze snake on a pole and tell the people to look at the bronze snake. Anyone who was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake lived. So Jesus is saying that he would have to be lifted up and that he would forgive the sins of people and take away the curse of death. Just as the bronze snake had no poison, Jesus had no sin. Jesus would have to be crucified to take the sin and guilt of guilty sinners he came to save. He would have to take their sin and guilt on himself when he was lifted up. And that's what he's saying. And that's how he's describing what must happen in order for people to be born again. You see, Jesus tells Nicodemus and us that his sinless life and death on the cross is how the Holy Spirit can make people born again, can give people spiritual life. The sinless life of Jesus and his death to pay for the sin and guilt that all of us have is necessary in order for God to send the Holy Spirit to apply the life and death of Jesus to the people God has decided to save in eternity. God gives people credit for the sinless life of Jesus and for his death in their place. And the Holy Spirit gives them spiritual life, makes them born again. So they believe in Jesus and trust him only and completely for forgiveness and everlasting life. Now here's something very basic about being a Christian that's essential. So let me hammer it for just a minute. There are absolutely two things that are necessary for God to save you and for you to go to heaven. You must have a perfect sinless life. You can't have any sin. You must have a perfect sinless life. And you must suffer an eternity of the wrath of God endlessly in hell everlasting and get it over with, which isn't possible because it's everlasting. Now, how can anyone then be forgiven and belong to God? It's right here in Jesus. He lived, he was a man. He lived a sinless life, perfect sinless life, fulfilled all righteousness, never thought a bad thing, said a bad thing, felt a bad thing, never sinned. And then God put him on the cross. God determined that he would send Jesus to live a sinless life, and then Jesus was executed as a criminal. And it wasn't just a physical death. As he was on the cross, God poured out on him all the wrath and judgment and punishment that you and I deserve for our sin. And Jesus suffered it all, did it all, suffered it all. Now, what does it mean to be a Christian then? It means that we believe that God gives us credit for the sinless life of Jesus. Do you know what that means? It means that we're not only forgiven, it means that in the eyes of God, we're given the righteousness of Christ. We're made righteous. Certainly we still sin. Certainly God is still sanctifying us. But when we believe in Christ, and the Holy Spirit of God makes us born again, God has declared us perfectly righteous. And when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for our sin, took the death that we deserve, which means that we will live forever if we're trusting in Jesus. That's what it means. It's not that complicated to understand what it means. As the Apostle Paul explains in Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified, declared innocent, declared righteous by God's grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life, because Jesus got up out of the grave. Paul says, we are saved by being born again by the Holy Spirit, who God sends through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, because Jesus lived a perfectly righteous, sinless life and suffered God's judgment against our sins for us, the Holy Spirit comes to us and makes us born again. He gives us a new heart, gives us new desires, gives us a new mind. We start to think differently. We feel differently. We think differently about sin, about life, about ourselves, about God, about church, about worship, about our responsibilities in life towards God and towards other people. And that's brand new. That's something we can't do on our own. God has a purpose for us. And we realize, we may not know specifically what it is, but the Christian realizes that he has an eternal purpose declared by God, decreed by God, that he is special to God, and his life is filled with eternal meaning by the creator of the universe. Also consider that when Jesus says that the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life, he is also referring to the preaching of the gospel, lifting up Christ through the preaching of the good news about God's forgiveness and salvation through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is explaining to Nehemiah how a person can be born again. And the Bible tells us clearly that the Holy Spirit does this work of making people born again as they hear the truth that God forgives people and saves them from death and hell through the life and work of Jesus Christ. God forgives people and delivers them from slavery to sin. All of those things we don't want to do that we keep on doing. He delivers us. He provides the power and the grace of God by his Holy Spirit through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul declares, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Do you realize that there's great power in just the truth of this simple message of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished? It is the power of God to make you brand new and to persuade you to live a brand new life. In Acts chapter 10, verse 44, the Bible tells us that while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. God sends the Holy Spirit to those people he has chosen to save. And the Holy Spirit gives these people spiritual life, makes them born again as they hear the truth about salvation through Jesus Christ. So the first two points that Jesus makes is that you must be born again to belong to God. That's point number one. And number two, only the Holy Spirit can make you born again. The third point Jesus makes is that if you are born again, you will live a new life. If you are born again, you will live a new life. You won't just be religious. You won't just be interested in spiritual things. You won't just like church a lot. You live a new life. Look at verses 16 and 17. Here Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Now, not everyone who hears the good news about Jesus is going to believe in him. Only those who are born again by the Holy Spirit. But those who are born again will believe in Jesus. This is the first sign of the new spiritual life in a person who has been born again. He believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He is one of the three persons of the we, whose witness Jesus said Nehemiah did not believe. A person who is born again believes that Jesus came down from heaven. A person who is born again realizes that he is a sinner, separated from God and condemned by God to death and hell for his sin and guilt, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit came into the world to convict us of sin. You cannot be born again unless you know that you are a sinner. A person who is born again believes that Jesus lived a completely sinless, perfect life, that he suffered God's judgment against guilty sinners when he died on the cross. A person who is born again believes that God raised Jesus from death, never to die again. He believes that God gives him credit for the sinless life of Jesus, and that he accepts the suffering and death of Jesus in place of the death and suffering in hell that he or she deserves. A person who is born again lives a life of faith, knowing that he or she is going to live with God forever. A person who is not born again does not believe in Jesus. In verses 18 through 20, Jesus says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." A person who does not believe is condemned already, because he has been condemned since he was conceived inside his mother's womb. In his human nature, he is a condemned sinner because of the sin of the first man, Adam. And since he has not been born again, he does not believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, it's possible for someone to intellectually believe the facts about Jesus and not be born again. People can say that they believe Jesus is God and he died for their sins without understanding or experiencing what that really means. Tragically, millions of people have been raised as they've grown up and encountered religious services of many kinds. Millions of them have raised their hands or signed a card or walked down to the front of a church or asked Jesus into their hearts, and they have never understood that believing in Jesus means that a person obeys Jesus. It doesn't mean that you've just done something religious. If you believe in Jesus, you obey Jesus. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 in the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, the Apostle John writes, "Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." A person can say he believes in Jesus all day long, but if he does not obey Jesus, he has not been born again and is not saved. Jesus is saying the same thing in verses 19 and 20. Jesus says, the light has come into the world. People reject him because they love darkness. They love their sin. Because they love their sin, they practice evil. And they hate the truth because they do not want to be told that what they are doing is evil. They will not come into the light of the truth and holiness of God. A person who is not born again just keeps on living a sinful life controlled by his or her sinful nature. They might even be religious. They might go to church all the time, but underneath that veneer, they're still living a life of sin. They just want to do what feels good to them and what they think is right. They are unwilling to obey God. In Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8, the Bible tells us, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God." But the person who is born again is different. He lives, or she lives, a brand new life. In verse 21, Jesus says, "He who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus is praying to God the Father and says, "Your word is truth." So he who does the truth is a person who does what God says. He obeys God. A person can obey God only if he is born again. The things done by a person who does the truth are done in God. They are done in the new life God has given him or given her. If a person is born again, he has a new heart, new desires. As we read earlier in Ezekiel, God says that he will give his spirit a new heart and put a new spirit in there. To have a new heart means to have new desires and new motives. A person who is born again is no longer a slave to his or her sinful human nature full of sinful desires. God has given him spiritual life. Now he desires the things of God, the things that please God and show the presence of God in his heart and mind and life in his living. Oh, listen to this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Apostle Paul announces that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A Christian is a brand new person. He is sensitive to sin. He or she fears God and wants to please God. He strives to obey God. He strives to learn more and more about what God would have him or her to do in his life or her life. His life shows a pattern of repentance and growing obedience. He wants to worship God. He is refreshed and encouraged and made glad when he attends worship services. He or she wants to hear God speak to him from the Bible. He wants to understand the Bible more and more and to know God more and more. He wants to know God's specific will for his life. He wants to serve God. The Bible tells us that God gives every believer at least one spiritual gift. And a Christian, a person who's born again, will have a hunger, a desire to exercise that spiritual gift. What does that mean? It means that person will want to find a way to serve God. Well, how do you serve God? Jesus loved the church, and what did he do? gave his life for it. He died for it. How do you serve God? You serve God through your service to the church. You use your spiritual gift in the church. We don't just come here to be religious and get our religious fix for the week. Let's hope not. We don't come here just for a social experience because we need acceptance, not the Christian. Lots of people do, but that's not the primary reason we come. We come to worship God and we come to serve Him. The born-again believer will have a hunger and an overpowering desire to find out what their spiritual gift is and find some way to serve God through the church. When God first saved me, I happened to have had a college degree and I could talk, and so this little Southern Baptist church I was working in, I was attending, I should say, asked me if I'd be a Sunday school teacher. I said, oh no, that's not me. I was just saved. I said, what I'd really like to do is clean the church. And I loved it. There's a place, an opportunity for service for every Christian in the church. Now, this is a small church, but I want to tell you, if you're a Christian, there's more work here to do than if this place was filled with three times the number of people, even with the number of people we have just now. If you're a Christian, talk to Rob, or the church planners, Rob and Mark. Find out how you can be useful to the church. Now, that won't save you, but if you're a Christian, you will have the desire to do that. That's the point. A Christian loves other Christians and enjoys spending time with them and helping them and praying for them. He spends time in prayer talking to God. He lives a spiritual life. He or she learns, and I'm going to emphasize learns to love praying together with other Christians in prayer meetings. That's something that is not natural to us as human beings. You know why? Because when we get together with other people in prayer and pray, we're declaring our weakness, our total dependence on God. We can't come before God in prayer and display all of our pride and all of our self-confidence. We have to learn to come to love being in prayer meetings with other Christians. But I want to tell you something. If you read Acts in the New Testament, the prayer meeting is one of the most important meetings of the church. Look at what happened when Herod put Peter in jail. You know what happened? He was going to kill him. The church gathered together. They prayed all night long. And an angel went into that cell and walked Peter out. It's the most powerful meeting of the church in terms of calling on the Spirit of God to do His work. Here in the Bible, the part of the Bible we read this morning, Jesus teaches us three critically important things. You have to be born again to belong to God, number one. Only the Holy Spirit can make you born again, number two. And if you are born again, you will live a brand new life. Now let's apply what Jesus has taught us to our lives and to the church. First of all, each of us should ask the most important question in the world. Am I a Christian? Here are a few other questions we can ask to help us answer. Have you realized that you were born a sinner? That you're separated from God? Have you realized that you reject Him and disobey Him? Have you realized that you're condemned to death and separation from God forever because you do not want to obey God? Have you come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Have you come to see that you need Him to forgive you and give you everlasting life? Do you believe He lived a sinless life? Do you believe when He died that God put all of your sin and guilt on Jesus? Do you believe God raised Him bodily from the dead and that he ascended into heaven. Do you believe that when you believe in Jesus, God declares you righteous, gives you credit for his sinless life, frees you from your load of guilt? It means that he forgives every sin of the past, of today, and every sin you'll ever commit is already forgiven when you come to Christ. Do you desire to live a holy life? Do you desire to obey him? Are you ready and willing to put away your pride and humbly come to God and say, I surrender all. I surrender all. All to you, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Doesn't mean you'll do it perfectly. God's not predominantly interested in what happens on the outside. He's interested in what happens in your heart. And is that your heart? Are you willing to say, I surrender all, and set about to do that humbly before God, no matter what it cost? Dear friend, if we profess to be Christians, we should look at our lives. The Apostle Paul tells us, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Look at the things that we've talked about this morning. As we set about to be used by God to build this church and glorify God as his people, it is critical that we understand what it means to be a Christian and how we should live as Christians. We must remember that if a person is born again, if he or she is a Christian, he or she will live a new life, a new spiritual life. Now, certainly, there are going to be times we sin. There are going to be times sometimes when we sin horribly. But the pattern of our lives will be a new life. And if we're born again, we are going to want to see God's purposes in the world glorified. You know what his purpose in the world is? It is to carry out the kingdom, the work of the kingdom of God. You know what that work is? It is gathering all of the elect and saving them. You know how he does that? Through the church. Through the local church. And if we're born again, and if we're Christians, above everything else, we will have a desire to grow in holiness and grow in service to God by serving him through the use of our spiritual gifts in the church. Now, if you're not a Christian, and if you haven't been baptized, I'm just going to assume you're not a Christian. But if you're not a Christian, let me ask you, who are you listening to? If you're not a Christian, boy, girl, man, woman, teenager, if you're not a Christian, who are you listening to? Are you listening to people who tell you the Bible is not true and that God does not exist? Are you listening to your friends or what you see on television or in movies or hear in music that says you should do whatever feels good to you, that you should have sex with whoever you want, whenever you want, or that you should lie if it will help you get what you want? Oh, dear friend, you need to listen to what God says in the Bible, where he commands, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. But it is impossible for you to perfectly obey God, to obey his law and to perfectly love him, because you are polluted and corrupted by sin, because the first man, Adam, disobeyed God, and the entire human race was in the body of Adam, and the entire human race was corrupted by sin. Sinful nature was passed on to the entire human race, and we're all condemned. Sin is disobedience of God. When Adam disobeyed, sin, human nature was corrupted. God says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All means you and me. It does not matter if you are a boy or a girl or a teenager or a young adult or an older adult, you have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You are a sinner. You are a sinner. And God says the wages of sin is death. Your soul is separated from God in this life. That is spiritual death. And your body will die. That is physical death. And unless you believe in Jesus, when your body dies, you will be separated from God forever. That is the second death. Or are you listening to that little voice in your heart or your head that says, I believe in God and I'm a good person, but I am shy and I'm embarrassed to think about talking to someone about becoming a Christian and getting baptized and telling people I am a Christian? Oh, dear friend, you need to listen to what God says in the Bible when he says, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And that means her too. You need to listen to what God says when Jesus says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Oh, dear friend, if you are not a Christian, listen to what God says when Jesus says, repent and believe the good news. That is a command. The good news is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and God sent him to save you from sin and death. To repent means you turn away from sin. You think about sin differently. You don't want to live for it anymore. To believe means that you believe the truth about Jesus. If you are not a Christian, you cannot escape your slavery to sin. You cannot be forgiven. If you are not a Christian, you are not a good person. If you are not a Christian and you walk out the door of this church today without asking God to forgive you and give you faith in Jesus Christ, make no mistake about it. Do not lie to yourself. You are making a decision to continue to rebel against God, to continue to be a slave to sin, and to continue to reject God and disobey him, and to reject his great, great love and mercy and sweetness towards you. You are making a decision to continually be spiritually dead, separated from God, and facing darkness and loneliness and hopelessness and fear and sorrow and grief and guilt forever if you should die before you trust in Jesus, the only Savior of men and women and boys and girls. Oh, dear friend, if you're not a Christian, please do not walk out the door of this church without asking God to forgive you and give you faith in Jesus to help you, to make you born again. The glorious and beautiful and loving and forgiving Jesus. The Bible says all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says, whoever seeks me with all their heart will be saved. If you're not a Christian and you want to know more about becoming a Christian, talk with Rob or Mark after the service or call them. They'd love to talk with you. If you are a believer and you haven't been baptized, talk with Rob or Mark after the service or call them. They'd love to talk with you. We want to see the Lord Jesus Christ glorified and worshiped and honored in this church, throughout the city of Bonham, throughout Fannin County, throughout the state of Texas, throughout the world. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that you have given us a Savior, Jesus Christ, your Holy Son, our mighty God. Thank you for forgiving our sins because of his sacrifice of his life to pay for our sins. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to make people born again, men and women and boys and girls, to grant them repentance, enable them to turn from sin to hate sin, and to believe in Jesus. Father, we pray that you'll build this church. We pray that of all the Christians here today and all of those who do attend here, Father, we pray that you will work by your Holy Spirit in their lives powerfully to bring them to desire to use their spiritual gift or gifts to build up this church, to strengthen you, to do the work of your kingdom, to do the work of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ rapidly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.